I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And it is a blessing and a privilege that we should never take for granted as God calls us to be in His presence. We're going to commence our worship with number 135 this morning, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Let's stand as we worship the Lord today. Let's come to the Lord now, please, in prayer. A loving Father and our gracious God in heaven, we bow in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ in thy holy presence. And our Father, today at the very beginning, we pray for the help of the Spirit of God in our worship. We know, Lord, that our praying is so feeble and weak, and yet when we come to the throne of grace on the blood-sprinkled pathway, we know that we are welcome and we have access that is full and free into thy holy presence. We know that the Spirit of God takes our weak praying and he presents those intercessions as Christ himself is praying for us today, right now. Lord, we are thankful for the great promise that Jesus has made to us that where two or three are gathered in his name, there we are found. He has found one of our number. And so, Lord, today we do rejoice. We are thankful for a measure of health and strength given that enables us to come here to the house of prayer to offer our praise and our thanksgiving. And we know, Lord, that not only those folks who are here today, but those viewing our service online may also enter in and receive blessing upon blessing, that the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, is our portion. And Lord, we don't take this for granted. We know that there are many in the world who are reeling with pain and suffering and anguish. We know there are many who are distraught, not knowing which way to turn, having no hope in this world, and certainly no hope in the world to come. But Lord, that's not our portion today. That's not where we are. For we know that we have deep, settled peace in our hearts because of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. Lord, because of the grace that is poured out to us continually, we're able to stand and pray, sit and pray. We're able to rejoice with one another in fellowship in the company of our great risen Redeemer. And so, Father, today we ask that everyone gathered in, every believer, would be very, very aware of the Savior by their side. And that, Lord, the times that we have of singing, of praising, of reading, of listening to the Word of the Lord, that these would be times that we count as very precious. The times of fellowship we would count as even more precious as we are one with another, having been at a time shut away for weeks on end. And yet, Lord, today we acknowledge with great thankfulness what we have and the opportunity of worship and serving. Lord, we pray that for those who are still unable to come because of bodily weakness or sickness or being in the hospital, Father, encourage them and strengthen them where they are. We do remember again those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We pray for our sister Norma today, Brother Jim, the loss of their grandson Scott. We ask, Lord, to remember Kathy and all the family. We pray for Shirley, for Jeff. Remember all these ones, we pray, Lord, and just comfort them now and help them to see the hand of God upon their life situations. And Lord, bless, we pray, in every circumstance. Lord, hear us now. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us as we continue in our time together. Remember all of the extended family connections and relations. We pray once more for household salvation. Lord, answer this our prayer. Lift up our hearts that we might rejoice in our living God. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Psalm 23b. Let's stand again, please, as we worship.
Thank you.
Let's turn, please, for our congregational reading to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew 26, reading from verse 17 down to 30. Now, the first day of the week of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him. But woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We know the Lord will bless His own precious word to us as we have read today. I want to welcome you all to the Lord's house this morning. It is very good to see you all, to welcome each one, and we certainly want to welcome those folks viewing our service today online. And I was told that our Fredericton congregation joined with us today for their worship, so we're happy that you folks are here today as well. After our service today, we will be meeting around the Lord's table, and at the same time, we will also be welcoming into fellowship, into membership, some new members. And so this has been and is an exciting time for us. I'll be saying a little bit more about that just before the communion service. And we are looking forward very much to a time around the Lord's table. I want to say a word of condolence from our congregation again to our sister Norma and to her husband Jim and Shirley and Jeff in the death of, well, Norma's grandson, 29 years of age, Scott. We had the funeral here in the church, really a memorial service yesterday, and it was a sad time, as you could imagine. And so do continue to pray for Kathy, his wife, and for his little daughter, Ava, that the Lord would help them as they put their life back together again. And do please pray that as the gospel message went out yesterday and many people who did not know the Lord were in the church, that the Lord would take His Word and write it upon them and bless them. I want to thank Norma for the beautiful flowers we have here in the service as a remembrance of the service yesterday. Do remember Reverend Kevin McLeod, please, in your prayers. He had his retirement service as he retired from serving the Lord in Resharkin Free Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland. And I was able to speak to Kevin this past week and let him know that we were praying for him, certainly through this time and for his whole family. The future for them, well, for them it's a little uncertain, but it's not uncertain in the mind of the Lord. We know that. And so we want to uphold Kevin and Thelma and their whole family before the Lord. Today marks another new day for us as far as the Lord's Day. We'll be opening our evening service for public worship now. And we have taken great care and great caution in all of the steps that have been taken for this. And I really want to say a word of thanks to the Abarca family, for they have taken over the cleaning of the church. And they were here after we had the funeral service yesterday. They were in and completely sanitized the whole building again. We're taking this very carefully and seriously for your safety. And so we want to thank them for the good job that they are doing. They took over from our sister Dana, who cleaned the church for several years, doing an excellent job. And the Abarcas have taken over that position. Do remember, please, in prayer, all of the staff and students from our school, Whitfield, as they'll be commencing. We'll be commencing school on Tuesday again with all of the extra duties and responsibilities and weight that is upon everyone. They need your prayers. And so I ask you to seriously take up and continue to hold up all of the ministry of our school much before the Lord. You know, we think of all the changes that are going on. Our session and board met a couple of weeks ago to discuss what we were going to do with the Sunday school and the adult Bible classes and the young adult Bible classes and Good News Club. And so we took a decision that it would not be wise for us to continue at this time with our Sunday school or Bible classes. One of the problems is, I know you are wearing your mask, as many of you are faithfully and dutifully doing that, and yet to have to do that right through from an adult Bible class and then an hour then and an hour and a half after, it's a very difficult thing, and with the Sunday school children too. So we've delayed looking at this until January, and we want to ask you to remember in prayer, and we've also postponed our Good News Bible Club at the same time. We certainly ask you to remember all of these ministries, all of the boys and girls, because one of the sad outcomes of this time, and yet in the providence of God, we who take it from the Lord, are the Grace Gospel Tamil Church that has been with us for over 18 years, renting our accommodation in the school building. Well, because of the extra regulations that are upon us for school, having all the children come in, we're not able to rent the premises to them anymore. And we did offer them to have some accommodation within our church Sunday afternoons from September to December, but they, in their search for new accommodations, felt it would be just better for them to get involved in the new place. And so I believe starting today, they also are in some new rental accommodations that will be suitable for them. But I would ask you to pray for Pastor Mano and for all of the deacons and our brothers and sisters that we have come to know and love, and their children, whom we have the privilege of teaching in Sunday school. And I know some of you folks have grown up through Sunday school and are here with us today. And I just want to acknowledge great thanks to the Lord for the privilege we've had of helping and ministering in the for the Sunday school ministry. Do remember all of our teaching staff in the Sunday school here, as they have served the Lord faithfully for many, many years, that God would bless them, encourage their hearts, and challenge them in this time of just taking a little extra. On the screen behind me, you will see a picture of the Briggs family. I want to bring you just a quick update on their ministry in the Ivory Coast. These folks are not unfamiliar to our congregation. They have been here on deputation over the years, And mind you, they're not in the Ivory Coast just now. They are in Northern Ireland in their home, but they are still helping, administering, working with the people there. Now, they normally have a Bible training conference. It runs in the early days of September for the Laron people. Let me just read a note that has come from our brother. Over the past number of years, a group of Laron church leaders have been receiving training in the form of an intensive annual week-long seminar to help them understand and participate in the Great Commission. It's been very beneficial to them as they bring the gospel to their own people and also as they reach out to other people groups in the region in which they live. This year, the training will take place from September the 7th to the 11th, and two of our African missionary colleagues, Norbert Yeo and Jean Godama, will be the teachers. We are not able to be in the Ivory Coast at the moment because of several different situations, but we're thankful for Norbert and Jean's ministry among the Laron believers, and we would appreciate if you would pray for them and they travel and teach and take part in those special training services. And then you'll see a group of men here that will be participating in the Bible training. And it's encouraging to know that God continues His work in every part of the world by faithful Bible teachers and those who are followers of Christ. And would ask you to pray for the safety of these people in the Ivory Coast, because if you've been following the news at all, the Islamic extremists in Ivory Coast have been doing a lot of damage. They have been doing a lot of kidnapping and murder. It is a serious situation. Now, the army has been involved a little bit more extensively and has pushed back some of those extremist groups. But do remember the Laron people, as they must continue to serve the Lord faithfully there in that part of the Lord's vineyard. So do remember the Briggs family as they continue to serve the Lord and organizing and overseeing that ministry. Well, we're going to sing another hymn together, number 130, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And we'll ask you just to remain seated as we sing this hymn. The final two verses. Thank you. Please be seated. I said the final two, but it was the last one. And that's all right. Tremendous hymns that we have been singing today. And you will know by the very theme of them that they focus around the whole matter of the Lord's sacrifice on Calvary. And I want us to think specifically about that today as we are preparing for the Lord's table. And to consider the subject of communion and what it means to us. I would like you to turn now in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read from verse 17 down to 25. Paul writes, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many, many sleep." Let's bow, please, before the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful today for the hymns and the psalm the Word of God that we have read, all of these things directing us to our Savior. Give us now, we pray, understanding and discernment in the Word of God and discernment about the Lord's body. Teach us, we pray, Father, I ask. Teach me. Give me the power of the Spirit of God to speak the Word of God with crystal clarity. Don't let anyone misunderstand, Lord. Don't let anyone leave not sure what it means to have a living relationship with Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would work in hearts. And just now, Lord, I would ask that even the people yesterday in the funeral service that heard the Word of God, that, Lord, you would give them no rest and no peace. Let the Word of God be a burning fire in their souls. Lead some sinners to Christ, I pray. Bless us now, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I was reviewing the messages that I have brought to you about the Lord's life and about the subject of baptism, I really have never spoken to you on the subject of communion before. Usually, the subject of baptism comes up when we are having a baptismal service, and I will touch more on that particular subject. I think the closest I came to it is when we were doing our fellowship classes a while ago now, but we touched on the subject of the ordinances of the Lord then very briefly. But the Lord's Supper, or communion, we know that it's one of the two ordinances instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. One of them, being baptism, was designed to be a picture of our conversion to Christ. And because of that, it is done only once in a believer's life, but it's not part of our justification. It's part of our obedience after we are saved, part of our sanctification, in a step and walk, obeying the commandment of the Lord. Now we know that baptism cannot save you because it demonstrates that we have already been saved. And though there are differing views about the mode of baptism or the subjects of baptism, there is no credible theologian that denies the New Testament teaches the necessity, in obedience to Christ's command, that we are baptized. Now, communion, the Lord's table, is also part of our faithful obedience to Christ's word. But it is intended to be repeated over and over again so that we remember our Savior's cruel death on Calvary, where He suffered and He died for our sins. Some people wonder, at what age should you either be baptized or take communion? But you know, it so often depends on the individual person. But a good rule is this, that in both cases, baptism and communion, a person should be of a mature mind, not childish, and able to comprehend the weight of meaning behind these very solemn steps that are to be taken. Now come back to Corinth with me for a minute, as we were reading in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, because Paul highlights there were some serious problems there. He said, there were divisions among you and heresies. And then you could almost see his tongue in his cheek. And he says, and I partly believe it. Yes, he did believe it, because he had heard, and there were troubles. There was an abuse of the Lord's Supper. They had turned the simple memorial into a gluttonous party, and they had destroyed the sacred purpose of it, so much so that some were neglected. Some who had nothing were not able to participate in the feast. You could almost hardly imagine something like this going on. And he even goes so far as to say that some of you are drunk at the Lord's table. No, this was a great crime. And Paul says, I do not praise you in this. A very strong rebuke. Paul then tells them what he had received from the Lord. And he then delivered it unto them previously, but now he's going to repeat it again. He's going to instruct them. And these are called the words of institution. And you might wonder, well, what does that really mean? Well, the word institution comes from the Latin word, and it means to set up or to put in place. Now, we use that word institution in many different ways in our own vocabulary, but as it applies to the Lord's table and these words that Jesus used there, they were put in place. They were used to set up or set forward the table of the Lord. Paul says that Christ gave them to him. In other words, he received them by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what Paul received from the Lord? They were applicable to the churches in Corinth and Philippi, Colossae, all of the churches then. But friends, they are equally applicable to us today in our church right now. Since the COVID shutdown of March this year, I think we have all come to appreciate the Lord's table all the more since it has been withheld from us. I have heard your comments. Many of you, just by the way, I really miss communion. I really miss being around the table of the Lord. I really miss the meaningfulness of it to my own heart. And I'm glad to hear that. Sometimes, as the saying goes, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And that could be truly applied here. As we think about the sweet times that we have had around God's table, I want us to think this morning about that phrase that the Lord Jesus gave to the apostle in verse 25 at the very end. He said, this do in remembrance of me. It's repeated, verse 24 and 25. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And I want that phrase to just be in our minds as we think about the Lord's table. Let's ask ourselves a few questions now. And the first one is this. What does the Lord's table mean? A simple question, and I think that most of you will have already gathered the answer to that. But let's take a moment and consider the command of Christ. It could not be any clearer than do this in remembrance of me. It is not a sacrifice. It is not a work that you and I do in order to obtain merit from the Lord. It does not contain, note this, some magical power, like a mythical fountain of youth, that if you drink at this, you will never grow old, and some other fanciful notions that people have. There's no myth around the table of the Lord. It is not, my friend, the distorted view of the Roman Church that believes that the elements of bread and wine, they are changed into the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such a teaching, when you draw it to its conclusion, is really akin to cannibalism. Is that what the Bible is teaching here? Is that what Christ taught, that we are to literally eat His flesh and blood? We'll come to that a little bit later. Friends, it's a time to remember. It's a time to consider our Lord Jesus Christ and what He set up. It's a time for us to think deeply about the cost of our salvation, to contemplate the suffering of our Savior, and that He took our sin upon Him in order to make us and set us free. Yes, friend, its meaning is clearly set out in the Word of God for us to consider. And therefore, the solemnity of the table, its importance, is all connected around its meaning. The second question we consider is, why is it so significant? I mean, why do we make such a big deal about the table of the Lord? Why was it commanded by Christ before they ate the Passover, as we read in Matthew 26? Why did the Lord appear to Paul and give him this revelation about continuing this on? Oh, my friend, its significance is great. The Lord uses two parts in this remembrance dinner: bread and wine, or the juice of the grape. And these simple terms, available to even the poorest of the people, they set forward to us the most profound doctrine and truth of substitutionary atonement. What Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. And I want you to take a moment in your own mind and really think this through and let the weight of it sink down. When we gather around the table, we want to take into ourselves the great significance that God has set before us. That the just one, our Lord and Savior, He stepped into our place. He substituted Himself for us, the just one for the unjust, that He could bring us to God. He is the innocent Lamb of God, and He was put in place of you and I, the guilty, hell-deserving sinners. Friend, let the truth of that God made Him to become sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It is a wonder that goes beyond all of our ability to properly explain. Is the table of the Lord an important place? Oh, its significance is beyond our ability to define. Our salvation that was purchased at the highest cost imaginable has been distilled to the most basic of elements of bread and wine. You know, to the unbeliever, when they see Christians making such a big deal about this and taking time to gather around a table like that, to them it's just like, what is all that about? Is that some kind of a religious exercise just based on a superstition? Yeah, quite possibly that's the way they think. They don't see any value in it. And we know they don't see any real value in it because they see no real value in what Christ did on the cross. To the unbeliever, it is foolishness. But to the believer, the child of God, we have been saved by the Lord's grace. We have been washed from our sins. And the simple gathering and the supper of remembrance it holds for us a most significant place in our Christian life. When we partake of this feast, what are we doing? We are receiving the body and the blood of Christ by faith. It is not a literal eating of the body of Jesus. I'd like you to turn, please, with me to John chapter 6. This is a vital teaching on this subject. John chapter 6. Jesus said to his followers then, "I am the bread of life. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Now, those are provocative words. Those are words that the Lord used, I believe, to cut between those who were genuine believers and followers of him and those who were, well, just along for the ride. You will remember that the feeding of the 5,000 comes earlier in this context, and Jesus had to say to them, "You have not followed me because you are really interested in who I am, but you followed me because your belly was filled with food and you want that to continue." You'll notice in verse 66 of this chapter, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." If you were someone who took a lot of emphasis on Bible numbers, you might be interested to know that this was John chapter 6, verse 66. 666. Now, I'm not superstitious in that way at all, but there's only one other verse in the Bible in 1 Chronicles that has a chapter 6 with verses 66 as well. But it's interesting that in the teaching of the Lord here, when he conveyed some of the most profound truths, that there are those people who didn't know him, and they said, "Well, we can't take this." They did not understand it. They did not receive it. They did not understand. They took it to an extreme, and we're told they walked no more with him. But the Lord had already declared his meaning. Look back at verse 35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." This is a key to understanding the whole context of chapter 6, by the way, and the words that Jesus spoke. He said to the people, "Look, if you come to me, if you receive me and believe in me, then you have life in you." That's what he meant when he said, "I am the bread of life, and you must eat of the bread of life." It was a step of faith. It was a step of believing and receiving. And he repeats it in verse 47 again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Oh, and there's one more that really sums and gathers all the strings of this passage together in verse 63. Don't miss this. Underline it in your Bible. He said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing." The flesh profit nothing? But Jesus just said, "You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." But he's saying, no, Don't miss this. The flesh is not the thing that profits here. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spiritual teaching here that if you miss, you will go away from me, which many did. Oh, my friends, let us not forget, let us not distort that the eating of the body of Christ by faith and the drinking of His blood, that is salvation. That is being converted to Jesus. You've come to Him, you believed on Him, you've received Him. That is conversion. And now we are thinking about the remembrance of the work of Christ on Calvary and the strong linking between what it means to us to believe in the Lord, to take Him into our spirit and our soul to eat Him, and then to come around the table and to take of His body and to take of His blood by faith in remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. And that's the whole point of the great significance of the feast. It touches for us the very highest point of the work of our Savior and what He did on the cross. What does it mean? Why is it so significant, the Lord's table? But I want us to think about a third question now. What real benefit does a Christian gain from the Lord's table? I am sure you have asked yourself that question before, as you have maybe sat around the Lord's table a number of times. And those who maybe are young Christians, they wonder, what do I gain from this? What's my benefit? I would say to you, friend, there is much benefit to be received from this, especially when we recognize that it's not a vain ritual. It's not some kind of church duty that we have. It's not to be done out of a matter of form, because it is commanded by our Lord. That in itself is enough to teach us that there is real benefit for us. If Jesus said we are to do it, then there's a reason why we are to follow Him. But what is the real benefit to the Christian? The Lord's Supper is a means of grace. It's not a religious duty, but it is a means of grace. And the word or that phrase, the means of grace, is simply a way of saying this, that God gives His grace to us through ways which He has provided for our spiritual growth. Think about that again, friend. Because people get a bit sidetracked when they hear that term, a means of grace. What do you mean, means of grace? How can I understand that? How does that help me as a Christian? Well, be careful and define the terms. Because that expression, means of grace, it is God who is giving to us through ways in which He has provided so that we can grow spiritually. And one of them is by coming to the Lord's table and remembering His death in His own appointed manner. When we faithfully submit ourselves to this ordinance, we are taking time to remember the suffering of Christ. We're taking time to remember, and it fills our hearts with thanksgiving. You see, this time is a time of worship. It's a time that we are able to praise God, and by the very description of it, God opens for us a conduit. which the grace of God is poured out to his people through our obedience to his command. You see, the more that you and I think upon Christ, the more that we love him, the more that we adore him, the more that his mind fills our mind, what happens to us? Well, we become like him. We mirror his attributes. We mirror his characteristics. The more that we testify that we know him, we want to be like him. Do you know that that's the great reason why you have been saved? Why God has brought you into a living relationship with his Son? Because he wants us to be changed, to be like Jesus. And as we spend time obeying the commandments that he has given to us around his table, his grace is poured out to us, and we become like him. Yes, there is real benefit, believer, to this time around the table. Let's ask another question. When should this be avoided? Is there a time when the Lord's table should be avoided? Well, I would say to you, ideally, never. It should never be avoided. But in real terms, if there is some unconfessed sin in the life of a believer, or a matter that has not been put right, maybe with another believer, it is important to deal with those matters first of all, and then to partake. I mean, the Lord used another similar type of expression when he said, if you have something against a brother or sister, you leave your offering before you go to the altar to present that. You leave your gift. Don't go and make the sacrifice. Don't go and make the offering if there's something not right. Put it right first and then go. And the same thing applies here to the table of the Lord. You know, on this point, some Christians, they actually decline to take communion because they feel maybe they're not worthy. They feel constantly unworthy of the Lord. Well, I understand that feeling because that's the way I feel. And I think that every honest Christian probably feels the same way too. I'm not worthy. But you see, another thing that happens is that guilt from past sins, it keeps pounding on us. And the devil is great to do that. And he keeps pounding on us and we feel guilty about past sins. And they go, oh, I'm not worthy to come to the table of the Lord. And while that may be true, we're not worthy and we do know of past sins. When a Christian has confessed those sins to the Lord, when we have brought those matters to him, God has forgiven us and we are free. And he has promised not to remember those sins against us anymore. And therefore, Christian, we should not stay away from the Lord's table because we feel unworthy. Because quite frankly, the Lord does not call us to a state of perfection before we come. But he does call us to have a clear conscience. And the only way that a Christian can have a clear conscience is when we have confessed our hearts openly before the Lord and we have prayed that he will forgive us for our sins. And when that has been done and we have put that right, then we are to come to the table of the Lord. You know, too many Christians have gone for years without coming to the table of God, maybe because they have neglected church attendance, maybe because in some cases they have not been able to find a faithful church to attend, and that is a problem. And so they have not been able to come to the Lord's table. Whatever it is, friend, whether it be by sickness or absence for one reason or another, legitimate reason, let us not forget that the Lord knows our hearts. Now, we have been shut away from the table of the Lord for 6 months virtually. It is no one's fault here, and we were just going through and complying with the necessary health regulations and so on. But the Lord knows all those circumstances. Sometimes people have been in prison, or they have been under persecution times, and they have not been able to meet in this way. But friends, let's be sure that we don't avoid it unnecessarily. The Lord knows our hearts, and He knows that the reasons why we have not been able to. But you know, when we avoid the Lord's table for our own faults or failures or misunderstandings, we miss out. We miss out with the Lord. And what can happen is that our hearts grow cold. And we don't want that to happen. We want to stay very close to the Lord. I think, though, that even this period of time that we have been away, it has indeed made us long all the more for such a time and a place of worship. And it makes us appreciate it. Another question that comes to the minds of some folks is how often should it be observed? Well, in 1 Corinthians 11, we have this word, "As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, as often as you do it." We observe it in our congregation once a month. Some folks do it once a week. Other people, they will do it quarterly. And some even more infrequently than that. You know what's important is that we look to how we will fulfill our conviction before the Lord on this matter and not be judging or looking at other people to see how they do it. No, we are not their judges. They are the Lord's servants, and we must do according to as we see this fit. There's no set number, but it's just as often. And so we come to the Lord, and we want to be careful that we do not place an obstacle or a judgment in the minds or before some other person. And one final thought today is this: who should partake of this table? Who should come to it? Well, we know that only those who have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and who are walking with a clear conscience before God, not engaged in any unconfessed sin, any sin. There is a solemn warning for us that we have read. "For he that eats or drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself." And the apostle deals with this two times in this chapter. He mentions that twice. I believe the first time it deals with those who are unsaved people, those who are outside of Christ. And indeed, friend, if you don't know the Lord, if you're not a believer, then you should not be taking the Lord's table, because you are not discerning the Lord's body properly. You're not carefully considering that His death on the cross was for you, and you have received that to yourself. And so if you're not a Christian, then don't take it. We're not saying that people cannot sit and observe the Lord's table and how it is operating, but you'd be best to pass by the cup and not take it. But there's a second time that this is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11, and I believe it has to do with those who don't discern the Lord's body, who are Christians but are not walking with God properly. They're backslidden. Because the apostle goes on to say, "Because of this, many are weak and sickly among you." He was applying this to the Corinthian church because of all the problems that they've been having. And if you're not discerning the Lord's body, if you're not doing this by His instruction carefully, then you will find that you have problems. And so we need to be careful and prayerful about all this. And may I make the application to you, if you're not a Christian today, what would hold you back? What would keep you away? There is every reason, because the Lord opens His arms and extends to you the gift of salvation. For He has so loved the world that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but possess everlasting life. And so I say to you today, call upon the Lord right where you are. Right where you are sitting, call upon Him. Because when you do, confessing your sin, He has promised to come into your life. And He will change your life, give you a new start. And you will know that you have the Lord Jesus in you and eternal life abiding in you. We're going to sing a hymn in closing now, and also in preparation for the Lord's table. Number 555, Lord, lead me to Calvary. We're going to stand as we worship, and if you are not able to remain for communion today, please feel free to leave sometime during the singing of this hymn, and you'll be able to leave and just leave the building. And if you'd like to remain and stay, you're welcome to do that too. Let's stand as we worship. Please be seated. It has been an unusual time for us in our congregation, for which we are very thankful to the Lord, because of the folks who have come forward during our shutdown and wanted to join in membership with our congregation here. That has been a tremendous encouragement to the session, to the elders, the deacons, to myself, everyone. It's been a great blessing. During the time when we were holding our prayer meetings via Zoom and we had no one in the church, when I was just speaking to an empty auditorium over the internet, well, we had the joy of welcoming into membership some folks. And do you know that during this time we've had 7 families, that including the folks today, that have come to join with us? And that represents over 15 people that have joined in membership with us. Tremendous encouragement. And we just thank the Lord for His great mercy to us. And so I'm going to do this, and we have 4 families today that are going to be welcomed in. I'm going to ask the Delinas and our brother Brian to please come to the front first of all, and we'll take care of you folks first of all. Please come now. Folks, come right up here and just turn around and face the congregation. That'll be good. It has been a tremendous encouragement to our family, church family, as when you folks joined up with us. And Brian, I don't mean you to stand back in the background there. Brian Limbaga is certainly a well-known in the family. He lives with the Delina family, so they're all together as one group in one sense. But our brother Brian, I'll be saying just a word about him in a moment. But I really want to thank Brother Eric and Rowena and Dorothy and Candace and Bea. Now, Bea won't be joining with us today officially because she's not 18 yet. And, well, Israel, you're part of the family, so you're with us on this one. But we're very, very happy. We have a family Bible to present to the Delinas, and then also a personal Bible to Dorothy and Candace. First of all, brother, let me give you this Bible. It's been engraved for your family, and it's been inscribed on the inside, and I hope you'll take that, and it'll be a great blessing to you and your family. And then Dorothy and Candace, we also have Bibles for you as well. You girls can take those too. That'd be great. We appreciate that so much. And Brother Brian, we have one for you as well. We have a larger one that's a family Bible. And brother, we are remembering you and praying very much for you. I would love to shake hands with everyone, but we can't do that just at the moment. Did that fall out of my pocket? Maybe it did. And so we want to appreciate so much Brother Brian, too. I ask you to pray for his family because of his wife and children not able to join him here in Canada. He is working on that now, and I would ask you to pray that that will be expedited. And also for the Delinas, they need the Lord to open up the immigration as far as work visas are concerned for them. And I would encourage you to remember their whole family very much before the Lord in prayer. So folks, thank you for your encouragement. Continue to pray for us and with us. We extend to you the right elbow of Christian fellowship today. So thank you very much for coming. Now let me please ask also the Richards and the Powell families to come up. Now, this is good. You guys you're the right-handers and they were the left-handers. I think that's how that one worked. Yeah, that's fine. You could just come up and stand right there. Just face the congregation. That would be great. This has really been, we've tried to do this in order in which the applications came in And the session met with these dear folks and heard their testimonies. And I tell you, we were greatly blessed to hear all the testimonies of the Delinas, of Brother Brian, and of Craig, and of Johnese. I always get this man mixed up with Richard Craig in Jamaica. So that's a good compliment, brother. Don't worry. But we tried to take them in order now, which they came, and we looked at them from the session and then welcomed them in. So it's a great joy, Brother Craig, Sister Johnese, to welcome you folks into our congregation today. And we have a family Bible for you, and it has been inscribed with your name on the front, and then also on the inside, it has also been inscribed. So I'll give this to you folks. The Powell family, come on, you folks step up a little bit further, that's good. These folks have been with us in the congregation for 6 years, and we are so appreciative of their fellowship in the gospel. And of course, there are two daughters over here, Joanna and Janice. We appreciate them as well. And we just want to thank you for your fellowship in the gospel. All of you folks together, it's been a great blessing. And we welcome you heartily into the fellowship here. So I'll give that to you. I appreciate that very much. So now, before you sit down, I'm going to ask Dr. McClellan if he would pray, and these folks sat down. I got them a bit too early. I just want you to stay there. I'm going to ask our brother to please pray and commit these people to the Lord in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee today with great joy. We thank thee, O God, that once more we're back in the church, and we thank thee, our Father, for these dear folks who have joined with us in the Church of Jesus Christ. We ask, O Lord, to bless each one of them. We pray, O God, that they may be an encouragement to us, and likewise that we may be an encouragement to them. And Father, we pray that today, as we meet together as members of this body, that, Lord, thou would draw near to us, that thou would bless and encourage each of thy children. And Father, we pray especially as we sit around thy table for the first time for many, many months, O God, we pray that thou would give us a real sense of the presence and the power of the Lord our God. O God, what a priceless privilege it is to know Christ as Savior, to be born again of the Spirit, and to have this glorious hope that someday we'll leave this scene of time and go home to glory to be with the Lord. And so, Lord, draw near, we pray, and as we have been thinking and we've heard earlier, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there art thou in the midst of them. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us and refresh our souls, for we ask it in Amen. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. Well, for all of us here and the preparations that have been made, everything is a bit new. And so you will please forgive us if something is a little bit out of place this morning, but we do our best to the glory and to the honor of the Lord. And what a happy day this is, a day of rejoicing, a day to really praise our God. And I thank you for your faithful intercession. I'm asking you to continue to pray that God will do a deeper work. He will pour out his blessing in even more significant ways. We do not in any way despise the daily way he loads us with his benefits, but we want to know a closer walk with God and a spiritual journey. Let me take a moment and just explain how the process will work today. We have, as I mentioned, a couple of Lord's days ago, ordered some special ways in which the bread and the juice will be contained for us this morning. for the best sanitizing that we can provide in the sealed, sterilized little containers. So I want to explain this to you, and I know that you all received a napkin, a serviette, when you came in today. You just might want to keep that handy, because we have heard that sometimes when people try to open these, they do tend to squirt out or tip them over. So just be extra careful and keep the napkin on your lap there. So the two parts here, we have the bread on the top layer, and then, of course, the juice and the little, well, just looks like a coffee creamer container, the bottom. On the top is a clear cellophane part, the first part. So when you get it, make sure that you open it. You can see a little tiny lip on it, and when you open it, you'll pull that back just carefully. And when you pull the top plastic part back, then you will see the little piece of bread inside here, first of all. Then it's still sealed. The juice is not open yet. And so we will ask you, after the elders distribute this one time as they go around, you'll receive that both things are together. And so then we will eat together in the first place. And then following that, you're able to then pull back the next little tab. And as you open that, I won't do it just here in case this one spills, but it just pulls back very gently and carefully. And then you'll be able to partake in the drinking of the juice. Let me ask you to turn, please, now in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to read from verse 29. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him. And they took a reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they had heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. We'll end our reading there, knowing that the Lord will again bless this very solemn word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow before the Lord, please, in prayer. Ask our brother Robinson if he would give thanks at this time for the bread that reminds us of the Lord's broken body.
Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be present here this morning. Thank Thee, Lord, for preserving us to come to this sacred time. Lord, we've been reminded again of Thy condescension to come to this sin-cursed world, to come to be our substitute. Lord, we are not worthy, as we've been reminded, but Thou hast paid the price of our sins, and Thou hast borne it on that cruel cross, on that tree, the cursed tree, and Thou hast removed the curse of sin. We, the guilty ones, have been made innocent in Thy sight, and Thou, the innocent one, has been made guilty for us. We thank Thee, Lord, for that great transaction that took place once and for all. And we are so thankful, Lord, that we're here this morning, that we can observe this time, this, and to remember the cost of our salvation, and to also look forward to that time that we will be with Thee in glory in that marriage feast of the Lamb. And so we are again so thankful for this feast that we are able to attend. Thank Thee for preserving us. And Lord, preserve us from this time on. We know that Thou art faithful. Lord, we pray that Thou will keep us faithful to Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for this love feast. And Lord, we accept that we are needy. And Lord, keep us humble. We thank Thee again for Thy great sacrifice. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The same night in which the Lord was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Once you have been served, I would encourage you to release the top layer so that you can take the bread out and then wait until we will all partake together. Take and eat. As we continue before the Lord now in prayer, Brother Fraser, give thanks for us, for the cup reminds us of the Lord's precious shed blood.
O Lord our God, as we bow before Thee at this time of remembrance, we give Thee thanks, Lord, as we've been able to fulfill the command, this do in remembrance of me. And Lord, we remember thy death on Calvary and thy sacrifice for us, in that thou who art holy didst condescend to become one of us, take to thyself a human body and a reasonable soul, and become our substitute and pay the price to satisfy divine justice and bring us to God. And Lord, we acknowledge that within ourselves there dwelleth no good thing, that we're polluted by sin, but the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his precious blood cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Lord, what a joy this is, what a privilege is ours to know that our sins are forgiven and are washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we partake of this, we pray that thou would separate from a common to a holy use as much of this as shall be used. May we eat and drink to thy glory. We pray this in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we are thankful for this special day and time. And Lord, we know that things are out of the ordinary from our normal habit, but that's not important. Lord, we rejoice today for the meaning and the value of coming together in such a fashion. And Lord, ever lift our hearts with praise and worship and thanksgiving for all that has been done for these sinful, redeemed souls of ours. We are thankful, Lord. And we pray that we will walk in the joy and peace and strength of the Savior day by day. Enable us, Lord, to be a witness in a time of much trouble and distraction and fear. And we pray, Lord, for once more your hand of blessing to be upon those folks that have joined with us today. Lord, bless them in their own spirits. Bless them in their families. Bless, we pray, and unite any who are still outside of Christ, connected with them. Ah, so, Lord, now part us in thy fear with a rich blessing. Bring us back again to the house of praise tonight, we ask, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.